Conditioners hummed unobtrusively to keep the temperature down. The atmosphere of technological efficiency was spoilt slightly by the fans of yellow-grey fungus growing out of the skirting board underneath the benches. "Contact lost," Mitch Verkake, the sheriff, seated at the technical communication station, reported, stone-faced. Candace turned to the small team she had assigned to monitor the posse's progress. "What about the sheriffs on the ground? Did they see it come down?" Jan Routley was operating the satellite link to the Swithland survivors. She loaded an order into her console. "There is no response from any communicator on the Swithland or the Heisel. I can't even raise a transponder identity code." Candace studied the situation display projected by her own console's AV pillar, more out of habit than anything else. She knew they were all waiting for her to rap out orders, smooth and confident, producing instant perfect solutions like an ambulatory computer. It wasn't going to happen. The last week had been a complete nightmare. They couldn't contact anyone in the Qualheim counties or Willow West anymore, and communications with villages along the Zamjan were patchy. The reinforcement flights to Ozark were a stopgap at best. Privately, she had intended that the fresh men and weapons would simply safeguard an evacuation of settlers down the river. She had long since abandoned the idea of restoring order to the Qualheim counties. Confinement was her best hope. Now it looked like Ozark was inside the affected zone. 70 men and almost a quarter of her armory. "Call the second BK-133 back to Durringham right away," she said shortly. "If the invaders can bring down one, they can bring down another." And at least 10 sheriffs with their heavy-duty weapons would be saved. They might need them badly in the weeks to come. It was pretty obvious the invaders were intent on complete domination of the planet. "Yes, ma'am," Mitch Verkake turned back to his console. "How long before the observation satellite makes a pass over the paddle boats?" Candace asked. 15 minutes, Jan Routley answered. "Program it for an infrared overscan 50 kilometers either side of its orbital track. See if it can locate the down BK-133. It shouldn't be too hard to spot." She rested her chin in her hands, staring blankly at her desktop processor. Protecting Durringham was her priority now, she decided. They must hold on to the city until the LDC sent a combat force capable of regaining the countryside. She was convinced they were faced with an invasion. The hour-long briefing she'd had with Kelvin Solanke that morning had put paid to any final doubts. Kelvin was badly worried, which wasn't like him at all. Candace hadn't told her staff what Kelvin had said to her about the possible use of sequestration and riverboats that might have already brought a preliminary platoon of invaders to Durringham. It didn't bear thinking about. There were 3 chairs conspicuously empty in the command center today. Even the sheriffs were reverting to self-protective mentality. She couldn't blame them. Most had a family in the city, and none had signed on to fight a well-organized military force. But she'd agreed to cooperate with the Confederation Navy Office in reviewing satellite image records of river traffic for the last fortnight. "We're receiving the images now," Jan Routley called out. Candace stirred herself and walked over to the woman's position. Kilometer after kilometer of jungle streamed across the high-definition hollow screen. The green treetops were overlaid by transparent red shadows to indicate the temperature profile. The Zamjan leapt into view at the bottom of the screen, Swithland's stern jutting out onto the water from under the bankside canopy of vegetation. Graphics flashed across the hollow screen, drawing orange circles around a glade close to the water. "It's a fire," Jan Routley said. She datafized an order into the desktop processor to center on the infrared source. The clearing expanded on the screen, showing a bonfire burning in its center. There were blankets and the unmistakable white cargo pods of homesteading gear littered about. Several trees had been felled on one side. "Where have all the people gone?" she asked in a small voice. "I don't know," Candace said. "I really don't." It was mid-afternoon, and the Coogan was 25 kilometres downriver from the abandoned paddle-boats when Len Buchanan and Darcy spotted the first pieces of flotsam bobbing about in the water.